This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Every year, some 18,000 West Virginians graduate from high school, and on average, about 56% of them head on to a higher education institution. But those institutions are getting more and more expensive. West Virginia's colleges and universities have experienced 3 years of back-to-back budget cuts at the state level, leaving them looking to students to pick up the tab. As Ashton Morrow reports, a Higher Education Oversight Commission approved increases for the West Virginia University System yesterday, and some of its members are calling the increases and reformations that come with them a bold step toward changing the face of higher education in the state.
We can't look to the state to be the sole provider. We've got to look to ourselves.
West Virginia University President Gordon Gee says his institution has to start looking for ways to reform and reinvent itself in the tough financial times it's facing. For Gee, that reformation starts with a traditional revenue-enhancing measure, increasing tuition. Monday evening, the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission voted 5-2 to increase tuition for in-state students at West Virginia University by nearly 10%. The hike marks a 29% increase in in-state tuition over the past 5 years.
No one is bullish on tuition in this state, but I think we made the case for a significant resetting of the university, and that's what this is about, so that A modest tuition increase now, with the ability to be able to be much more competitive in the long run, will be in the best interest of both our students, our faculty, our staff, and most importantly, all West Virginians.
Gee says the rise in tuition will be offset by a number of university initiatives. Those include a commitment to enhance financial assistance for low-income students. Gee says his Dream First campaign, a fundraising endeavor with a goal of raising $50 million in private funds for student scholarships, is already a fifth of the way there, raising $10 million since its launch last month. The university will also hire a dean of completion, which Gee says will be among the first in the nation. The dean will focus on initiatives to help students complete their degrees in 4 years, cutting down on student costs and student loan debt. The tuition hike will also pay for raises for university faculty and staff, helping to keep the, quote, best and brightest in the state. In-state students won't be the only ones who see an increase on their bill, though. Out-of-state students will also see an increase this fall of 5%. Still, President Gee maintains his university is one of the best values in higher education in the nation.
If you take a look at our tuition vis-a-vis almost any other major American university, we are the greatest educational bargain in America. If we were on the New York Stock Exchange, I'd buy stock immediately.
The U.S. Department of Education reports the average tuition rate at public four-year institutions in the country is about $7,400. WVU's increase will put them only slightly above that average at $7,600. But even with the low comparative rate and the reinvestment plans promised by the university, some commission members couldn't be won over.
It makes a statement, I think. I want to make a statement.
Commissioner Kay Goodwin was joined only by Commissioner Kathy Eddy in voting against the increase. Goodwin is the secretary of the West Virginia Department of Education and the Arts, which also oversees West Virginia Public Broadcasting. She has voted no on every tuition increase to come before the commission in her tenure.
I don't think our families can stand the extra burden that student loans put on them because of tuition increases. We can't afford it. We just can't afford it.
But Goodwin was overruled on the WVU tuition hike. She was also outvoted on an 8% increase for students at Potomac State College in Kaiser and a 7% increase for students at West Virginia State University and Institute. Those tuition increases will also take effect this fall. Still, Higher Education Policy Commission Chancellor Paul Hill says the detailed plan presented to the commission about the increase and the initiatives surrounding it is a step forward for the state as a whole.
This is a new paradigm. It's taking a big step forward. On its face, it raised questions, but at the end of the day, the arguments were very convincing that this was the right thing to do.
Of course, the three institutions in the West Virginia university system aren't the only public colleges and universities in the state to implement a tuition increase for the coming year. Students at Fairmont State, Shepherd, West Liberty, Bluefield State, Glenville State, and West Virginia University at Parkersburg will also see increases this year, each less than 5%. Marshall University's Board of Governors will meet Wednesday to discuss possible increases at that institution. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
While the Higher Education Policy Commission is increasing tuition for in-state students at state schools around West Virginia by as much as 10%, officials at Salem International University, a private institution, announced a new college affordability initiative this week at their campus in Harrison County. As Glennis Board reports, the initiative would effectively cut students' tuition by half or more.
After a year as the president of Salem International University, Dan Nalant is rolling out an affordability initiative. It comes, he says, after conducting market analysis that revealed why West Virginia kids aren't going to college.
Mainly two reasons. One, debt burden that the family can take on. And the second thing is most of them are first generation kids going to college.
The Salem College Affordability Initiative aims to allow students, especially low-income West Virginians, to complete degrees with no or manageable debt by helping them in several ways. They include scholarships that reduce tuition by half, assistance in applying for federal grants, flexible course scheduling and transfer credits, combining distance and campus learning, and by reducing tuition in certain in-demand programs like education and nursing. Regular tuition at the university is about $70,000. But Nalant says his program will allow low-income, high-need West Virginians to get a four-year degree for around $2,000. Nalant says investors are behind the initiative and that Salem has the financial wherewithal to support the program. He hopes to see increases in first-generation college students this fall. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glennis Board in Morgantown.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Partly cloudy skies today. There is a chance of rain and thunderstorms, and some of these storms could produce some gusty winds. Temperatures in the 80s and low 90s today. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. Mostly sunny on Wednesday with highs in the 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
As the weather warms, it's time for monarch butterflies to make their way through our region. But they're not around in the numbers they used to be. By some estimates, monarch populations have dropped by 90% over the past 20 years. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant looks at why that's happened to these iconic butterflies and at efforts to save them.
Jerry Weedman is counting butterflies. He's a retired chemist, and today he's holding a clipboard and a butterfly net with a pole that's almost as tall as he is. We're walking around a park that overlooks Lake Erie in Northeast Ohio.
That one's pretty.
Yeah, that's a cabbage white.
This isn't just a casual walk. This path through meadows and woods is what's called a butterfly transect. It's about 1.5 miles long, and it's split into sections. Weedman and others set it up. During butterfly season, he or someone else walks it weekly.
And we count butterflies within 7.5 feet on either side of us.
As we walk through each section, he jots down how many butterflies and what species we've seen.
There's your red admiral. See him?
Weedman has been fascinated with butterflies since he was a kid. For many young people, monarch butterflies are the first to get their attention. Their large orange and black wings are easy to spot, and their migration story is a mystery of nature. Each spring, these tiny fluttering creatures fly thousands of miles. They leave their winter homes and forests high in the mountains of Mexico. The females lay eggs in milkweed plants in the southern U.S. Most monarchs live only a few weeks, so the new butterflies continue the journey started by their parents. It can take five generations to complete one migration to Canada. Some years, Weedman has personally counted hundreds of monarchs migrating through Ohio, but that's changed.
We don't get the numbers migrating through that we did in the late 90s or early 2000s.
His counts show fluctuations in the monarch population, but it's a downward trend. It's the same story all around the country.
Hi, I'm Chip Taylor. I'm director of Monarch Watch at the University of Kansas.
Taylor says monarch numbers started to plummet in the early 2000s. That's when Roundup Ready seeds became popular. With this new technology, farmers could spray entire fields with herbicide. The weeds would die, but the crops were fine. Taylor says it also killed off the milkweed, and that's the only food monarch caterpillars can eat.
You know, I've got nice, really nice pictures of milkweed growing in corn and soybean fields around the year 2000. Then around 2006, you couldn't find milkweed growing in corn and soybean fields anywhere. I mean, it was just about impossible.
Around 2007, President George Bush made a push for huge increases in corn-based ethanol and other homegrown sources of energy. With the help of Roundup Ready technology, many farmers planted corn and soy on land that had been fallow or in conservation. This killed off even more milkweed.
And the estimate is that we've lost 100 million acres of habitat just to the adoption of this particular technology.
According to estimates by the Center for Biological Diversity, monarch populations have dropped by nearly 1 billion since the mid-1990s. They've petitioned the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to protect the monarch under the Endangered Species Act. Taylor argues against that.
I don't think they should be listed as threatened. I think that is counterproductive. The value of this petition really is that it's caught everybody's attention.
Taylor says regulation could set up conflicts between farmers and the federal government. Still, he sees a need to restore tens of thousands of acres of habitat for the butterflies. He says that's already starting to happen, with many people planting milkweed in their home gardens and teaching children about it in school. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
And tomorrow, the Allegheny Front's Rebecca Williams explores how planting milkweed may help restore the monarch population. The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. You can find out more at AlleghenyFront.com. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.